that first Christmas there. If you're there in Luke chapter 2, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible tells us here in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 15 is where we're going to begin reading. This is what the Bible says. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. These shepherds were the first ones to believe the word of God concerning Jesus Christ. They were the first witnesses of God unfolding His plan of redemption by sending His Son into this world. And in a very real sense, what resulted from their experience with Jesus that day was they were the first true believers to offer up an alleluia of praise to the Lord Jesus. And since that time, can I say, there have been countless millions of people who have joined together in that same alleluia of praise to the Lord. I don't know how many songs have been written about Jesus, how many sermons have been preached, how many poems have been recited. I was just given a poem from a man at a restaurant this week that said, "Hey, I want you to have this." And it was a beautiful poem about Jesus. And the sound of Alleluia has filled the hearts of believers from the moment that Jesus Christ entered into this world. And I tell you, this believer's Alleluia we hear from the shepherds on that first Christmas night is something that God desires to still be resounded in this world today. And as we sang a moment ago, we are reminded of the fact that throughout eternity, we as believers are going to continue to sing this Alleluia of praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your notes this morning, Revelation chapter 19 tells us of an account that you and I, if you are saved, will be a part of one day. Along with all the host of heaven and all believers from all time and space. In Revelation 19 and verse 1, the Bible says that after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, "Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." And friend, this is a song we're going to continue to sing throughout all of eternity. And boy, I enjoy coming into church. And sometimes, especially when I'm not leading music, a moment ago I let Miss Lexi lead it, I like to just sit back and listen to God's people sing. There was just nothing like it. And what other place do you go to where people sing their hearts out except for church? We have a great reason that we've been given to sing. A great Savior that has given us this great reason to sing. And as we think about the believer's Alleluia here this morning, I wonder, what is it that causes us as believers to want to sing an Alleluia of praise to the Lord? And do you have this Alleluia of praise in your heart here today? That's what I want you to think about as we look at this passage of Scripture. And I want you to notice from the example of the shepherds here, three factors that are involved in the believer's Alleluia. Now before we dive into this, why don't we pray and ask God to speak to our hearts with our heads bowed and eyes closed. I want you to think about something with your head bowed and eyes closed with me. When's the last time you really sang Alleluia to the Lord from your heart? I'm not talking about coming into a church service and mumbling the words that you've mumbled 1,000 times before. I'm talking about, when was the last time your heart genuinely wanted to praise God for some realization of what He has done for you? It might have been this morning, and thank God for it if it was. For some of you, it might have been a long time. That's what I want you to think about as we preach this sermon today. Believer, don't lose your Alleluia. We're going to be singing it throughout eternity. Don't lose it today. Let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts. Father, we come before You and thank You for this opportunity to be able to open Your Word. And Lord, you filled my heart with the truth of this passage, and Lord, just with the fact that our hearts should be full of your praise as believers. And I understand that in this room there are some who may think they are believers, but they're really not. They've never truly trusted Jesus as their Savior. I pray you'd make that clear to them today, and I pray that today would be the day they realize their need for Jesus and truly and personally trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And for those of us that know you, Lord, I pray your Spirit would well up a desire to sing hallelujah afresh and anew in our hearts to you who have come to save us from our sins and given us this hope and this peace and this joy. And I pray, God, that you'd speak to us through your word as only you can. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Three factors that are involved in a believer's alleluia. Notice the first factor with me that is involved in a believer's alleluia is an experience. First, there is an experience. That first Christmas day, you can be sure, those shepherds experienced something supernaturally wonderful. Can you imagine being in their shoes on that day? We've already preached through part of the earlier part of this passage during this season of Christmas, but it was a night like any other, the night that those shepherds were gathered watching their sheep. But boy, it changed really quickly when the Bible tells us an angel appeared in the air, began to pronounce to them some good news that something wonderful had taken place. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, had been born and brought into this earth. But it didn't stop there. After that wonderful announcement had been given, the Bible says that there was an entire angelic choir that showed up, and they started to sing praise to this newborn Messiah King who had been born on that day. We know the words of their song very well, verse 14. They sing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Can you imagine the angel band reciting those words on that still night? And after all that these shepherds had heard, after they had received this good news, those shepherds, they had a decision that they had to make. Were they going to believe what the angels had told them, or were they going to ignore it? And obviously we know from the Christmas story the decision that they made, and the Bible tells us exactly what they did. In verse 15, look there with me again in verse 15, the Bible says, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. As I read this passage, one of the things I realized this week is, they didn't speak these words because they doubted that God's word was true. They spoke these words because they absolutely believed that what God had told them through those angels was absolutely true. And we know that because they say in this verse, it's evidenced by the fact that they said, let us go and see this thing which is come to pass. They hadn't seen it yet, but they believed that if God said it had happened, it had happened. So they weren't going to Bethlehem to see whether or not it was true. They believed it was true. But they went to Bethlehem to experience the wonder of what had just been described to them. Their belief in God's word affected their behavior. They believed that Jesus Christ was real and that Jesus Christ had been born. And now they wanted to go and experience Jesus Christ for themselves. You know, in how the shepherds pursued this experience with Jesus, I believe we can learn something about how we ought to pursue a passionate relationship with Jesus Christ as well. What those shepherds experienced on that night and their experience with Jesus, it caused them to want to sing Alleluia. You listen to me on this. The more you experience Jesus, the more you experience Jesus, the more reasons your heart will be filled to be able to sing Alleluia to the Lord. The more you get to know Him, as we look at what happened with these shepherds here, I want you to see from their experience how we ought to seek to know Jesus more by our own experience. And so if you want to experience Jesus, you must first choose to seek Jesus. You want to write that down? You must first choose to seek Jesus. Look at verse number 16 again with me here. If you're still with me, say amen. Verse 16, the Bible says, and they, the shepherds, came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Those shepherds, they made a choice on that night, and the choice that they made, first of all, was to seek Jesus Christ. We see this demonstrated from two angles here. From the verse we just read, the Bible says, first of all, in verse 16, that they came with haste. That word haste in the Greek, it literally means to seek something with urgency. The way that they were seeking Jesus was not just passively. They were urgently looking, where is this? Where is this child? Where is this one that the angels have told us was born in Bethlehem today? And so they sought the Lord with urgency. But not only that, in verse 16, the Bible says that they came with haste and then they found him. That word found in the Greek isn't accurately portrayed in our English translation here. It's sufficient to understand it, but the word found, it literally implies to find something out by searching for it. All right? It wasn't that they just stumbled upon Jesus. They sought him urgently, and they were seeking him passionately. They wanted to know where he was at. And I love the passion we see demonstrated by those shepherds as they hear the news of Christmas, and they immediately began to rush and try to experience Jesus Christ for themselves. And I like how Halford Luckock described the shepherd's response. He said, this was truly the first Christmas rush that ever took place. All right? Now, our Christmas rush is a little bit different in our day and time, okay? But boy, they were urgent to go experience Jesus Christ for themselves. And you know those shepherds? They didn't know exactly what they were going to find. All they knew is that they wanted to find Jesus, and they knew what he was going to look like when they found him. You know why? Because the angel had already told them how they were going to find him. Back in verse number 12, the angel had told them, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And so just imagine this scene with me. All right, these shepherds had a responsibility to take care of their flocks. And so I don't know for sure if this is how it went down, but I think this is how it went down. I think those shepherds took all their sheep through the streets of Bethlehem in the middle of the night. Now, can you imagine the neighbors? They probably didn't appreciate that very much. All right? And there they are. They're just looking around. What are you guys doing? Oh, we're looking for a baby. What's your problem? Why are you going through the streets of the city in the middle of the night looking for a baby? But they had a reason. They were looking for Jesus. They were seeking Jesus. And I love the example and the image of that in my mind. And finally, after an urgent and passionate search, the Bible tells us that they found Jesus just as God's word said they would find him. And I'll tell you something. If you need a reason to sing Alleluia during this Christmas season, you'll find your reason if you'll start seeking Jesus. You make no mistake about that. And I wonder this morning, when was the last time you truly sought after Jesus in your heart? As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants after you, O God. That's what the psalmist said. When's the last time you wanted God in your life? You wanted to experience a fresh encounter with Jesus Christ in your life. When last did that happen for you, Christian? These shepherds, they heard about Jesus and they wanted to see him. They wanted to experience him for themselves. And so they began seeking him. And you know, so often we get caught in the trap of taking Jesus for granted. Taking even this season we celebrate for granted. We get Jesus as our Savior and we have him. And then it's almost like we act like he's not even there anymore. Kind of reminds me of a husband and a wife. Oftentimes, a man and a woman will pursue each other up until the point that they get married, and then after they get married, they stop pursuing each other, and they wonder why the fire's gone. You got to keep dating your wife even after you marry her. Thank you. One amen. Hallelujah. Y'all better start talking up. Or you're going to start getting some elbows. Okay. The fact is, the same thing can happen in our relationship with Jesus, all right? We can stop wanting to seek after Jesus Christ, for some of us, it's because we take what we have with Jesus Christ for granted. And it's possible for this to happen for us as believers. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus warned that it's possible for believers to leave their first love and to become, to replace a love and a passion for Jesus Christ supremely in our hearts for something or someone else. And brethren, that ought not to be. Maybe the reason that your heart isn't filled with a hallelujah of praise to the Lord Jesus during this season is because you have stopped seeking Jesus in your life. We see these shepherds seeking Jesus, and We need to get back to that as believers here today as well. And let me tell you something. If you find yourself in a position where you've grown distant from the Lord and you stop seeking after your walk with the Lord as passionately as you may have at some other point in your past, the Bible gives us a great prescription for how you can find your way back. Look in your notes at Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 29. It says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if you will seek him with all your heart and with all of your soul. Friend, it just takes a decision to turn around and say, I've not been as passionate in my walk with the Lord, but Lord, I am seeking you again. It's as simple as that. Now, if you're lost in here today, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Let me tell you something. You don't have any desire in your heart to seek after God. I know that because that's what the Bible says. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. There's none that seeks after God. But here's the good news of Christmas. You may be here without Christ and have no desire for Christ in your life today. But guess what? Jesus Christ came not so you'd seek him. He came to seek after you. Luke 19 and verse 10. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And friend, if you feel like you don't have a desire for Christ in your heart, you can feel the Holy Spirit of God tugging on your heartstrings today. He wants you to come to him. Even if you came in here not wanting anything to do with Jesus, Jesus wants you to come to him. And he's seeking after you to trust him as your Lord and Savior. So you want to experience Jesus Christ here today? It starts with you seeking him. But a second thing I want you to see, if you want to experience Jesus, you're next going to have to choose to see Jesus. Not just seek him, but see him. I want you to notice what these shepherds did after they found Jesus. In verse number 17, the Bible says, and when they had what, church? Seen it. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. The Bible says they saw something when they had seen Jesus Christ, just as the angels had told them. That word seen in the Greek is oida, and it literally means to perceive something with the eyes. Listen to me. Those shepherds, they didn't just experience a searching for Jesus, but they saw Jesus in the flesh. They saw Jesus personally in their lives, and the sight of that newborn Savior, it forever changed their lives. And I like to think about in my mind what it must have been like when they saw Jesus. You see Mary and Joseph there? She's just had a baby, all right? I don't know any lady who the day that she has a baby wants any visitors, okay? Poor Mary, all right? Poor Mary, she's had the baby in a stable. All right, her newborn baby is being laid in a feeding trough for animals, and now here comes a bunch of dirty shepherds. All right, that's a tough situation. And they walk in, and I'm sure there were some curious eyes as they looked at each other. Who are you? Who are you? And the angels, or the shepherds began to tell Mary and Joseph about the vision of angels that they'd seen and the angel choir that they had heard. And I'm sure that Mary and Joseph in return had told them about the encounter they had had with God's messenger angels and how the angels had told them that this child was the Messiah. And as they talked back and forth with each other, their faith was strengthened and their faith was encouraged. And let me tell you, when you share your experiences with Jesus, it encourages and strengthens the faith of other believers. When you see Jesus working in your life, when you see Jesus doing something in your life, and you share that with someone else, it'll encourage and inspire their faith. Can I just step out on a rabbit trail here for a minute and say that's why this gathering is so important? Some people say, well, you don't have to go to church to worship God, and you're right. The fact is, we still do need each other. And Hebrews 10:25 still says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Because we get around each other and we get to share with each other what Jesus is doing in our lives. And it encourages and it inspires and it equips our faith. That's what we see happening between Mary and Joseph and the shepherds on that day. Let me tell you something. You'll find all the reason you need to shout a hallelujah praise to Jesus in your life when you begin to see Jesus at work in your life. So when was the last time you saw Jesus working in your life personally? When was the last time you felt Jesus' hand on your life? I'm not talking about seeing a 90-foot Jesus like somebody claims to have seen, okay? I'm talking about the unseen hand of Jesus Christ working and moving in your heart and working and moving in your life. You know what I'm talking about if you're a believer today. When's the last time you saw that? Well, it's been a blessing to my heart this year. Our theme has been But God. And with this theme, it has been so good to hear so many people looking at their lives, even the bad things, looking back and seeing God work in their lives. Bring bad circumstances and work them out for good. Good circumstances and work them all together. But boy, it's just been a blessing to hear people share their testimonies of how they've seen God at work in their lives. That's what I'm talking about today. Matthew 5, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And friend, when your heart is sincere to the Lord and sincere in looking at your life, you'll have no problem seeing God work in your life. You want to experience Jesus personally today? It starts with you seeing Jesus. It starts with you searching after Jesus. But a third thing I'd say is that you're also going to have to make the choice to share Jesus Christ. To share Jesus. Now, I want you to notice what took place with these shepherds after they saw Jesus. Verse 17 again, the Bible says that when they had seen it, when they had seen Mary and Joseph and Jesus there in that manger, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. That phrase, made known abroad, literally means they began to talk about it everywhere. They began to publish it everywhere. Everywhere they went, those shepherds started telling everybody who would listen to them about what they had just experienced. Let me tell you, they weren't just telling people, "We saw a baby." There's nothing fantastic about that. All right, I love babies. But friend, there's a lot of them in this world today. They weren't just going around and telling people, "I saw a baby." No, they were going around and telling them, "I saw a child that was born, and an angel told me that this is the Messiah. This is the chosen one. This is the one that we've been praying for. This is the one that we've been waiting for." And the angel said, this one is going to be the Savior of all mankind. And friend, everywhere they went, they began to share the good news of what they had experienced in meeting Jesus Christ personally on that day. You mark this down. You listen to me on this. When you experience Jesus personally, it will cause you to want to share Jesus publicly. I'll say it again. When you experience Jesus personally, it will cause you to want to share Jesus publicly. That's what happened for these shepherds. And boy, when you truly experience Jesus working in your heart and working in your life, it'll make you want to share the good news of Jesus Christ with other people as well. If you think about it, the word "Alleluia" is really a call for others to join together and praise to God for something that He has done in your life. That's what the word "Alleluia" is all about. And every time you share Jesus with someone else, you are essentially inviting them to join in your "Alleluia" of praise to the Lord. That's what's taking place. If you've really experienced Jesus in your life, I say you won't be able to help but talk about Him to other people. You've truly experienced Jesus bring you healing from an illness. You've truly experienced Jesus saving your soul from sin. You've really experienced Jesus Christ bringing your loved one back to the Lord Jesus and turning their lives around. If you've really experienced Jesus doing something in your life, you won't be able to be quiet about it. You truly experienced Him. The apostles in Acts chapter 4 and verse 20, I like what they said. They said, "For we cannot but help." We cannot help but speak about the things that we've seen and heard. They wanted to quiet them up. They wanted to shut them up. Stop talking about Jesus. And the disciples said, "Listen, I can't help it. If you've seen Him do what I've seen Him do, you wouldn't be able to be quiet about it either." If there's anybody who ought to be shouting the message of Jesus Christ, it's those of us who have experienced Him personally. It's an alleluia reason for our alleluia here today. And so we see the first factor involved in the believer's alleluia is an experience. It's a personal relationship with Jesus that provokes your heart to shout out an alleluia of praise to the Lord. So let me ask you, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Is it all just knowledge? Or do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? There are a lot of people who know a lot about Jesus, but I'm not talking about that. I'm saying, do you really know Him personally? You want a reason to sing "Alleluia"? It starts with you knowing Jesus personally. starts with an experience. And if you do know Jesus personally, I ask you this morning, have you been seeking Him? Have you been seeing Him at work in your life recently? And have you been sharing the good news of Him with the people around you? That ought to be something that's regular for all of us as believers. So the first truth that we see here today, the first factor that's involved in a believer's alleluia is an experience. The second factor I want you to write down is an examination. An examination. The Bible tells us when the shepherds began to share what they had experienced with Jesus, immediately others began to examine their claims. And those who had not yet experienced what those shepherds claimed to have experienced, they were curious to know what they were so excited about, what they were talking about. And let me just say, to this day, the believer's alleluia still inspires those who have not experienced what we have experienced to want to examine our changed lives and find out what it is that has so impacted our hearts. So what were the responses that those who examined these shepherds' alleluia, what were their responses? And what can we expect from people who are not saved and look at our lives? What kind of response can we expect from them? Well, three responses here, and I don't have long to park on this, but let me just mention them to you. The first response is this. There are some who consider it. There are some who consider it. Verse number 18. You're still with me? Say amen. Amen. All right, now here's a birthday present that you're going to give to me today, all right? You're going to put up with the long-winded preacher, okay? And I'm not making any threats, but I'm saying it's a possibility, all right? Verse number 18, the Bible says, and they all heard it, and all they that heard it, what does the Bible say? Wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Every person who heard the shepherd's story had to consider what it meant to them. They had to choose how it would impact their lives. The Bible says all who heard it, every person who heard the message that those shepherds had to say, they could not walk away from that encounter without making a choice. They had to make the choice that they believed what the shepherds said, or make a choice that they didn't believe the news that the shepherds had told them about this amazing child that they had met. You know, every time that we as believers share our alleluias of praise to Jesus for what Jesus has done in our lives, it makes other people have to make a choice as to whether or not they believe in the Jesus Christ that we preach. Every time you share Jesus with someone else, they cannot leave that encounter without making a choice in their heart about whether or not they truly believe what you're telling them about Jesus Christ. And you know, for many people, they struggle with making that choice. I know there are some of you in this room, you have yet to make a decision about Jesus Christ in your heart. And yet, my heart was so encouraged last week when Waylon got baptized. Is Waylon in here? Oh, Waylon's in junior church. Waylon got baptized, and some of you heard him give his testimony last week, and one of the things he said when he got baptized was, well, I just figured I'd go ahead and get saved right then instead of waiting till later. And I love that. I wish everybody would do that. See, the fact is, you have today, you have right now, and you're being confronted with the truth of Jesus Christ, what are you going to do with it? Can I say to do nothing is a choice? It's a choice to not believe in Jesus yet. You don't know how long you're going to have in this world to say yet. And one of the most important questions anyone can answer is the question Jesus asked in Matthew 16 in verse number 15. He asked his disciples, but who do you say that I am? Now, I like what Peter answered. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The most important question you will ever answer in your life is, who do you believe Jesus is? Jesus calls all men to believe in Him as Lord and Savior. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Friend, if you've never made that decision, I hope you'll go beyond just considering Christ and trusting Christ as your Lord and Savior. So how do people respond to this believer's alleluia? Well, there were some who considered it. There were also some who cheered for it. I want you to see this in verse number 18. The Bible says, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Every person who heard the shepherd's testimony about Jesus,
The Bible says they wondered at it. That word wonder literally means that they marveled or they admired it. It's much like in a sport, for a sports fan to sit on the sidelines and watch someone else perform. And sometimes we're just filled with wonder. Oh, I can't believe he made that catch. I can't believe he made that shot. It's the same type of idea that's communicated in that word. People's hearts being filled with wonder. But these people who heard the shepherd's story, they essentially said, wow, well, that's really cool. I'm glad that happened for you. And then they walked away like nothing had ever happened. In other words, it didn't directly impact their hearts or didn't change their lives. Matthew Henry noted, they wondered, but they never inquired further about the Savior. Here's the difference between the shepherds and the people that they told the good news to. When the shepherds heard the news, what did they do? They went and found Jesus. When they told these other people about Jesus, they listened to it, they wondered at it, but they didn't go find Jesus. You see the difference? There is a difference. And I fear that today, in the day we're living in, it's a sad commentary that so many people are fans of Jesus, but not truly followers of Jesus. Are you listening? We have a lot of fans, not a lot of followers. You don't mind to sit in the stands and come and sing songs and cheer for Jesus, but when it comes to actually turning your heart and life over to Him, that's a different story. God is not desiring fans for His kingdom today. He's desiring followers. And there is a difference. And I wonder which camp that you fall in here today. There are many who like to celebrate Christmas, but they don't really believe in Christ, the one who it's all about. They hear about what Jesus has done, and like those people the shepherds talk to, they say, well, I'm so glad that happened for you. I'm so glad that Jesus has changed your life. But you don't want Jesus to do it for you. And friend, Jesus, more than anything in this world, wants to change your life. If you'd be willing to commit your life to Him. Just because you sit in a church building, and just because you claim to be a Christian, doesn't mean that you are today. Matthew chapter 7, and verse number 19, the Bible says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. You know what the will of God is for salvation? That you'd believe in Jesus Christ and trust Him as your Lord and Savior. Your good works, your church attendance, none of this other stuff will save you. Not everybody that claims Jesus as Lord and yet has not believed in Jesus in their heart, they're not going to go to heaven. Read the rest of it with me there in your notes. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not? And it goes on to say, in thy name done many wonderful works. God, I lived a good life. I deserve to be here. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There will be no heaven without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You've got to know Him. Not about Him. It's not about your goodness or your good works. It's all about you knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And there are some who want to cheer for Jesus and they get excited about it, but have you truly committed your heart and life to Jesus Christ here today? There's some who hear this believer's hallelujah. There's some who consider it. There's some who cheer for it, but I want you to see the third group, and that is there are some who cherish it. Mary in particular. One person who heard the shepherd's testimony, we see she took it to heart. Verse 19, the Bible says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And there are two words used here to describe what Mary did after hearing these things that the shepherds had to share with her. First, the Bible says that she kept them. She internalized them, or she kept them in her mind. And then the Bible says that she pondered them. She meditated on them or thought on them. She kept bringing them back up in her mind and just thinking about, wow, what those shepherds have described to me. I can't believe that that happened for them. And so it's clear that Mary genuinely cherished the experiences of others with Jesus Christ. And listen to me on this. We should cherish it. We should cherish it when other believers express alleluias of praise to Jesus for what He is doing in their lives. Here's what Mary didn't do. The shepherds came and told Mary what happened, and Mary didn't cross her arms and go, Well, I didn't get an angel choir. I did all the work. I brought him into the world. Why didn't I get to hear the angel? She wasn't mad. She wasn't resentful because someone else had an experience with an angel choir and coming to know Jesus Christ. She was glad for them. She celebrated it. She pondered on it. She meditated on it in her heart. She was happy about it. And boy, that's the response that you and I ought to have as we are able to see other people, other believers express what God is doing in their lives. It ought to provoke our hearts to want to join together in chorus with them and say, hallelujah, I'm glad that God did that for you. This week, the praise from someone else that filled my heart was from Naomi and Teague. Monday, she put out a post on Facebook, and many of you know this, last Sunday, their son got baptized, as I mentioned a minute ago. Well, while one of their sons was getting baptized, the other son, Wyatt, God was working in his heart, and he was right over in this other room, and he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And boy, my heart had been filled with a alleluia all week because of her alleluia and his alleluia as they saw their children make these decisions for Christ. That's what I'm talking about. Well, I just thought about that this week. I thought about how good God is to have done that for them and rejoice with them in that. And friend, those types of things, as God works even in the lives of other believers, it ought to fill our hearts with alleluias of praise to the Lord as well. And so what are the factors involved in a believer's alleluia? Well, first there's an experience, and then there is an examination. And the final thing I want us to look at, and we'll be done, is that there is an expression. There is an expression. And after all these things, the moment came for the shepherds to return home. And I don't want you to miss this because this is significant. They didn't live forever in that field with angels singing and everything going honky-dory, all right? Eventually, they had to go back to real life. Get this. It's when they went back to real life that they started expressing their own alleluias of praise to the Lord. Verse number 20. The Bible tells us, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now, there are some moments in life that you just wish you could freeze. You know what I'm talking about? A couple weeks ago, we were able to go back and visit some of my family back in Indiana, be with my brother and my sister and their kids and my mom and dad. And boy, those kinds of moments are the moments you wish you could just freeze and enjoy a lot longer than what you get to enjoy them. And around the holidays, around Christmas and Thanksgiving, especially, many of us enjoy those types of family gatherings, and it just makes you wish that you could have those moments frozen and enjoy them a little bit longer. But we all know, eventually, Christmas comes to an end, Thanksgiving comes to an end, and after it's over, you've got to go back to real life. And that's just part of how life goes. And so how can you take your alleluias of praise with you back to real life? I mean, is it really possible to still be saying alleluia to the Lord when you go back to work the Monday after Christmas? Is that even possible? There are some other things some of you grumble when you go back to work the Monday after Christmas, but I don't think it's alleluia, okay? How do you do that? Well, let's learn from the shepherds how they brought what they experienced with Christ back into their daily lives. And I just start by saying this. God wants to fill your heart with an alleluia every day of your life. The psalmist said in Psalm 40 and verse 16, "Let those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, let the Lord be magnified." And God wants His praise, this alleluia of praise, to fill your heart continually here today. And as those shepherds returned back to their real lives, their alleluias of praise began to be expressed in their everyday lives. And the believer's alleluia should not just be something that's expressed on Sundays. It should be something that you express every single day of your life. Yes, even when you wake up on the wrong side of the bed. All right? Yes, even when everything else goes wrong, you still have ample reason in your heart to sing alleluias of praise to the Lord. How can you bring that alleluia to your everyday life? Well, let me show you what the Bible tells us about this. To express an alleluia of praise to Jesus, we learn from the shepherds, you must first of all exalt Jesus. exalt Jesus. Verse number 20 again. The Bible says that the shepherds returned. And what's the first thing the Bible says they did? Glorifying. They returned glorifying God. That word glorifying comes from the Greek word doxa. It's doxazo, is how you say it in the Greek. And it literally means to magnify or to celebrate or to adorn someone with glory and praise. And those shepherds, what the Bible's saying here is that they began to exalt God in their everyday lives. They began to give God glory for every little thing that they noticed God was doing in their life. They just experienced Jesus. They just experienced God doing something that had never been done in someone's life for hundreds of years. And boy, you can be sure after they experienced Jesus on that day that they began to see God's glory surrounding them in the everyday of their lives. And boy, their hearts became passionate with giving God glory for every little thing that God did in their life. And can I tell you something this morning? God wants your everyday life to be filled with you giving Him glory that He deserves. If you have any good thing in your life, God deserves the glory for it. If you accomplish any good thing in your life, God deserves the glory for it. That's the whole reason why we're here in this world, by the way. The whole reason Jesus came into this world was so that God could be glorified. The Westminster Confession states it this way: man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's our chief end, to glorify God. And you were created for the glory of God. That's why you're here on this earth. And so if you live your life for anything short of that purpose, your life will be entirely unfulfilled. So many of us get caught up in our own glory. Some of us get caught up in glorifying our children, and glorifying our workplaces, and glorifying other things, when all the while the one that deserves the glory from our hearts is Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. You want to bring an alleluia of praise into your everyday life? It starts with you learning to give God glory for every little thing in your life. By the way, you can't give God glory without first believing in Jesus. If you don't believe in Jesus, you are not glorifying God's purpose for your life today. I want you to look in your notes with me. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. The Bible says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in who? Christ. You want to know how you can glorify God today more than any other way? By trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the most you can do in this life to bring glory to God by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Then beyond that, once you know Christ as your Savior, you get to live every moment of your life giving every energy in your heart to bring God glory in everything that you do. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Even in eating and drinking, you can bring God glory. Now, I have seen how some of you eat. You've got some work to do to bring God glory, all right? But everything you do ought to be to the glory of God as a child of God. And that's what the Bible's telling us here. And friend, you want to bring an alleluia of praise to the Lord? Find ways to give God glory for everything that takes place in your life. He deserves the credit. He deserves the honor. Many of you know, you try to come and tell me, well, that was a good sermon, Pastor. Nine times out of ten, what I'm going to tell you is, well, praise God. You know why? Because it's not my word, it's His. I try to do that on the basketball court, too. I say, oh, that was a good shot. Well, praise God. Some miracles do happen, is what I often say. Okay? But God deserves the glory for everything. There's nothing too small to give God glory for. Every good gift and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, and whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God deserves all the credit, all the glory. That's what I'm talking about. You want to bring an alleluia of praise into your everyday life, start with exalting Jesus. But it goes beyond that. Not only should you exalt Jesus, but the second thing and final thing I'll say here is you must extol Jesus. Extol Jesus. Now, that's not a word we use very often today. So I'll define it for you after we read the verse. Verse 20, the Bible says, and the shepherds returned glorifying and what? Praising God. That word praising is a Greek word I know. And it literally means to extol or to sing praise to the Lord. The Bible literally indicates to us here that these shepherds returned home singing praise to the Lord. Now, the last time Israel had some singing shepherds, it was David in the field. Can you imagine those shepherds when they picked up their Bibles and they looked at the Psalms? How much different their hearts must have been affected because they'd actually met Jesus themselves, the one who many of those Psalms were written about. And here we have some more singing shepherds in Israel, singing praise to the Lord on their way back to the hills outside Bethlehem. And I tell you, God wants you to express your alleluia of praise to Him by singing. He wants you to extol Him. He wants you to sing praise to Him. And let me just note this here. Praising God, singing to God, does not actually require you to be able to sing. You know that? Now, I see some of you at church on Sunday. All right, you say, well, my spiritual gift is not singing, and so this is what you do during the singing. Oh, yeah. Listen, I you have to stand up here and look at me. Sometimes I have to stand up here and look at you, too, okay? All right? But you know, this is not something that is just, well, I just don't have a gift to sing. God wants all of us to sing praise to Him. The psalm still says in Psalm 100 and verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. Now, truth be told, for some of you, it sounds more like coming before His presence with singing. And for others of you, it sounds more like a joyful noise. But at least it's singing, okay? And whether you can sing or not, that's not a requirement for you to be able to give God hallelujah praise by extolling Him, by singing praise to His name. Now, the person next to you might ask you from time to time to sing on a hill far, far, far away. And that's okay, all right? And through the years, I have been involved in a lot of musical things. And sometimes, even in our choir, we'll have people and they really can't carry a tune in the bucket, but I'm glad they're there because they're singing praise to the Lord. And that's what I'm talking about. Listen, you don't have to be able to sing in order to be able to sing praise to the Lord. God, it's all about your heart, not about your talent, okay? And that's what God's looking for us from today. And friend, you can go to work tomorrow, and some of your coworkers may hate me for this, okay? But you can go to work tomorrow, and you can sing praise to the Lord. And God will be glorified in that. You can bring a hallelujah to the Lord from your heart by singing praise to His name. And how important that is for us to understand. And so do you express hallelujah of praise to the Lord in your daily life? God desires for every believer to continually bring up an alleluia of praise to Him. I wonder, this Christmas season, or for your life in general, when's the last time you truly from your heart brought an alleluia of praise to the Lord? When's the last time? I think that if you listen to the voice of the Spirit of God in your heart, for some of you, it might be time for you to come back and find a reason to sing praise to the Lord once again. On that first Christmas day, the believer's alleluia began to resound. And God still desires for that believer's alleluia to continue to resound today. And so if you, like those shepherds, have truly experienced Jesus, your heart will be filled with reasons to express alleluias of praise to His name. So do you know Jesus? Have you personally experienced a relationship with Jesus Christ? I believe there's some of you in this room, you don't truly know Jesus personally in your heart. And I hope that as we prepare to move to an invitation now, that you would be willing to come and let us show you from God's Word how you can know Jesus personally as your Lord and Savior today. Christians, those of us that truly do know Jesus as our Savior, when's the last time you truly experienced Jesus working in your life? When's the last time that you had a desire to seek Him when you woke up in the morning? When's the last time you saw Him working in your life in a supernatural way? When's the last time your heart was so filled with God's goodness that you wanted to share Him with someone else that is around you? I'm talking about experiencing Jesus. That's part of our alleluia of praise to the Lord. And our experience with Jesus causes others to examine what it is that we have and want to know what it's all about. When's the last time that your walk with God made someone else want to know who it is that you worshiped? I think there's some decisions that some of us need to make to bring back the praise of Jesus Christ into our everyday lives. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes together. Our heads are bound, our eyes are closed. You've listened well to the message today. I want to give you a chance to respond and an invitation now. Friend, will you listen to these questions for me? How many of you would say this morning, Pastor Bruce, I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I know that I'm saved. If that's you, would you raise a hand to indicate that? Many, many of you raising a hand. Thank the Lord for that. You can put your hands back down. Those of you that know you're saved, how many of you would be willing to admit, Pastor, honestly, it's been a while since I have truly had a desire to experience Jesus in my life. I know He's my Savior. Boy, I've allowed so many other things to distract me. Today, that's what God has spoken to my heart about. I want to know Jesus. I want to get back to walking with Jesus so that my heart can be filled with this alleluia of praise to the Lord afresh and anew. If that's you, that's what God's spoken to your heart about, would you lift your hand so I can pray for you? I see several hands. I'll pray for you. Hey, I wonder if there's one of you here today that would say, Pastor Bruce, I don't know Jesus personally. I know about Him, but I've never trusted Him as my personal Lord and Savior. And today, that's what God's spoken to my heart about. I don't know Christ, but I'd like to know Christ. If that's you, would you just lift a hand and say, Pastor Bruce, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you please pray for me? Amen. Anybody else? You say, Pastor Bruce, I'm just not sure that I'm saved. Please pray for me. Very good. I'm going to pray for those of you who have lifted your hands. And right now, in the stillness of this moment, as we're preparing to go to invitation, I'll pray, and after I pray, if God has spoken to your heart, I want to invite you to come and make an altar out of your seat, or you can come forward to this altar and make a decision with what